second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org. And I'm kind of laughing. You're talking about pressure cookers in the chat room.
Registered mine. You know, I had to send in the warranty card. Anyway, yeah, let's finish it because some of the most interesting and damning evidence on Strasser is in this other book he wrote with the Jew Michael Stern in 1943 during wartime. But in this conversation, he's talking. This was the conversation I'm talking about in Hitler and I from 1940, which he wrote. He involved a Jew by the name of Mosbacher, was his talking about his first conversation with Hitler, and he talks about the day that Hitler ate meat, which is true, because a time where Hitler became a vegetarian, people have talked about, including his sister, was around the time, shortly around the time his niece had died. That's about the time he became a vegetarian. He wasn't always a vegetarian lifelong, but so that's probably a true statement. But he says here that Ludendorff is at the meeting, Hitler was at the meeting, Gregor and Otto were at the meeting, and I believe Himmler is in this meeting, because Himmler was Gregor's adjutant. And Ludendorff pursued inquiries about people's military career, and Ludendorff asked, how did you come to be recommended for the Order of Max Joseph? And it says, the decoration to which a general referred to was extremely rare, of which I was deprived by the ending of the war. Now, here is Otto talking about, what's interesting is, I can't find any evidence. I went back and looked in the World War I records, and I do study that period. I can't find anywhere that Otto was actually recommended for that decoration. One. So anyway, so I've been recommended for it as a consequence of a deed of arms recorded in the Golden Book of the 1st Regiment of Bavarian Light Artillery. Now, those records are available, by the way. A crack regiment which I was proud of having served. Bubbling over with youthful pride and enthusiasm, I described the incident to General Ludendorff, while Adolf Hitler, suddenly embarrassed at having been no more than a corporal and having no military exploits of his own to boast for, enclosed himself in hostile silence. So let's stop there at that statement. Adolf Hitler had been awarded the Iron Cross twice, exactly. First and second class. So, you know, there's Otto Strasser making a fool of himself. Now, Hitler actually had conversations with David Lloyd George when he was chancellor, you know, years later, and talked about himself being a corporal, being a dispatch runner, and he also talked about, I believe, to the British foreign minister, and they talked about being across the lines with each other. And so, you know, Hitler had never been shy about his position about being a Lance Corporal in the First World War, and had never, ever, had never been embarrassed about it. So that is an absolute false. That's an absolute falsehood in that conversation. So anyway, he talks about on several occasions when Ludendorff spoke to him, meaning Hitler, he answered with, yes, Your Excellency, or exactly, Your Excellency. Well, that was Hitler always showing respect. He actually referred to President von Hindenburg that way as well. He always showed respect towards those. In fact, even years later, when if you read Hitler's table talk, he always referred to President von Hindenburg as the old gentleman, and he referred to Ludendorff in the exact same way. He goes on in the meeting, he's talking about Gregor, who had been an officer too, but was already on very close terms with Hitler, felt uncomfortable. The harmony of this lunch party seemed to be imperiled, and the plans that he had built on it appeared to be vanishing into thin air. Gregor's talking, Otto is making himself out to be quite the big intellectual, and he's challenging, and, you know, he's presented himself to be something that he obviously was not. Because if you look at the writings of Otto Strasser and compare those with the other National Socialist thinkers and philosophers, namely Rosenberg, and I emphasize Rosenberg because there comes a time here where he's going to basically mock Rosenberg, and I think that's important. We're going to break, and we'll pick it up on the other end.
All righty. Be right back in 3 minutes.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game, in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org.
Same meeting, Deanna, and this is we get into the dynamics. The lunch by this time, the meal is over at this first meeting, and they're at Gregor Strasser's home. And so the men all went in. He says, we went into a sitting room, a dark room with heavy furniture. Hitler says, Herr Strasser, he said, I do not understand. This is Hitler speaking. How is it possible for a loyal ex-officer like you to have been a Red during the Kapp-Putsch in March? Now, bear in mind, the Kapp-Putsch was when ex-military decided to just get rid of this Versailles government, and that's what Hitler had referred to it as well. But Otto said, and he was directing that comment at Otto Strasser, and Otto Strasser says in his book, he must have heard the story from my brother, at least he was upon his own ground. This is Otto Strasser responding to Hitler. My Reds, Herr Hitler, I replied, and he's saying Reds, he's admitting he was a Red. I replied, acted in support of the legal government of the country. They were not rebels, as you seem to imply, but patriots who were trying to check the rebellious followers of a few reactionary generals. Hitler gradually worked up a state of excitement. No, he replied, one must not be satisfied with the latter. We must try to penetrate to the spirit. The Kapp-Putsch was necessary, though it was ineffectively carried out. The Versailles government must be overthrown. Now, Otto Strasser's response to that statement, and I think Hitler was absolutely right about calling it the Versailles government. He says, never did I hear Hitler speak of the Weimar Republic. He always spoke of the Versailles government and always used the phrase with profound contempt.
Well, he certainly was correct in that. I mean,
yes, he was. I mean, the more, again, this is the diamond in the cat box, because Otto Strasser, I always, I consider him to be a Soviet double agent, but he was a buffoon. He incriminates himself as he's trying to do this propaganda hit piece on Hitler. Later on in the conversation, he talks about, he says, and I continued, the emphasis in this amalgamation, mostly talking about the term National Socialism in the party, he's talking to Hitler, don't you call your movement National Socialist in a single word, Hell Hitler? German grammar tells us that in compound words of this kind, the first part serves to qualify the second, which is the essential part. I then proceeded to quote some quite a bit undeniable examples to illustrate this feature of the German language, which is very rich in compounds of this kind. I saw Hitler flush and in a vertical line appeared across his forehead, intersecting a horizontal line. But perhaps your Baltic advisor, Herr Rosenberg, this is Otto Strasser continuing, is too ignorant of the German language to appreciate the nuance, I added somewhat maliciously. Now, again, I want to compare Rosenberg's writings and his standing to Otto Strasser's. Look at what Otto Strasser has written. In his early writings, Otto Strasser wrote a diatribe basically calling for Bolshevism, collectivization, unity with the Soviet Union. Look at what Otto, he never wrote anything calling the Jews out the way that, calling for confrontation of the Jews the way Alfred Rosenberg did. But anyway, he says, Hitler suddenly lost patience and struck the table furiously with his fist and said, enough with this hair splitting, he exclaimed. Then he made an effort to regain his self-control. In a half-serious mocking smile, he turned to my brother Gregor and said, I'm afraid I shall never get on well with this intellectual brother of yours. He's lucky, that's all he said. I then witnessed one of those exhibitions of rhetorical acrobatics for which Hitler was to become famous for, sidestepping an argument on a level of which his elementary standard intelligence could not follow me. You hear what he's saying? He's basically saying that he was much smarter than Hitler. Hitler only had elementary intelligence and that he, Otto, was much smarter. What's interesting is the opposite is true. He launched into a violent anti-Semitic tirade, completely evading the issue. Now, this Otto Strasser is writing this in 1940. Now, what had happened in 1940 was Hitler just knocked France out of the war. This is Hitler's response, playing about with ideas like that is quite useless, he said, once more addressing himself to me. What I'm talking about is reality, and the reality is Jewry. Look at the communist Jew who was Marx and the capitalist Jew who is Rathenau. And we talked about Rathenau a few shows back, Deanna. All evil comes from the Jews who pollute the world. Ever since I've got to know them, ever since I have come to understand them, now this is Otto Strasser quoting Hitler. I have been unable to meet a man in the street without wondering whether he is a Jew or not. Jews control the social democratic press. They conceal their fiendish devices behind a mask of reformist ideals. Their aim is the destruction of the nation and the obliteration of the differences between the races. Jews lead the workers and talk of improving their lot. In reality, they aim at enslaving them and killing their patriotism and their honor in order to establish the international dictatorship of Jewry. What they cannot achieve by persuasion, they will try to achieve by force. Their organization is flawless. They have their fingers in every pie. That's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. What Hitler was saying is absolutely true. He's basing his actions and his political philosophy on reality. If we go down, Otto Strasser, response is, you do not know the Jews, Herr Hitler, and permit me to tell you that you overestimate them. He then, Otto Strasser's remark, he has this long diatribe where he basically says that Marx invented nothing and that Marx socialism was not Jewish in origin at all. Now, you tell me that Otto Strasser was not a babbling buffoon, and two, was not a socialist of the left and a Marxist. And when you look at the fact that he wrote this in 1940 in collaboration with a Jew by the name of Mosbacher, that he was not either a false flag or a Soviet agent. It's absolutely incredible that at the height of the war, you know, at the height of German victories, he is writing a book that is, you know, trashing the leader of his country and is taking up for the Jew. And advocating for policies that are absolutely Bolshevik, parallel Bolshevism. Let's go to 1943, because this is the most damning, I think the most damning evidence. Otto Strasser in 1943 collaborates with a Jew by the name of Michael Stern. Michael Stern is one of those Jews, as I said earlier, in a U.S. Army uniform.
Which is kind of amazing.
Yes, but, it is. I have his obituary. Yeah, go ahead.
But then when you look at some of the other allies and some of the other kind of connections that that the U.S. Army had with people in Germany who they got to testify at the Nuremberg trials, then it kind of makes sense that there was a lot of infiltration.
Well, it's I think it's just amazing because you look at Stern, and I have his I went and found his obituary in the New York Times, and boy, did they really do a two-page write-up on him in the New York Times. He ended up down in the Jewish. He died in the retired in the Jewish community of Florida, and had a Jewish wife. And he lived a Jewish life. He was in the there. He is in his U.S. Army uniform, and it's just wondering how he ended up in Rome 2 days ahead of the Allied troops. But at the same time, this piece comes out, Flight from Terror by Otto Strasser and Michael Stern, New York, 1943. And I'm going to go through some of the pieces that he writes in here. The early part he's talking about, he's laying the foundation about where he was in the Garrison Hospital after the war and such. But let me pull some excerpts out. On page 33, he says that Adolf Hitler, this is how he describes some of the people. Captain Röhm was an avowed fascist. Gregor Strasser, his brother, was an idealistic patriot socialist. Basically says that his brother was a socialist of the left. He then goes down and says that Adolf Hitler plagiarized the swastika from Erhard's group, Freikorps. Kind of interesting, because there is the history where Hitler brought in the swastika is well established. But we would go into this, but this entire book, Deanna, that he wrote with this Jew is one of those propaganda pieces that the, you know, Britain did it and the United States did it to a certain extent. They would get these Germans, these German false fronts and these German double agents to write these hit pieces under their name. And of course they would have them edited by these Jews in U.S. Army uniforms, hoping they would get some sort of traction in Germany to undermine the German government, and the reverse happened, because we've seen what happened, as I talked about earlier, when Otto Strasser went back to Germany in 1955 and established this German Social Union. Everybody ignored him because they understood what he was. One, he was a traitor. Two, he was a Marxist. And three, they understood that the real successor to the National Socialist Party was a Socialist Reich Party of Otto Ernst Rehmer and the other true National Socialist war heroes that had lived. He goes on, and on page 35, and he attacks Dr. Wilhelm Conti, who was head of the health organization and was spearheading the eugenics policies. This is what he says, Dr. Wilhelm Conti, which is all false. A medical student and leader of the reactionary element in the university. Before he could complete his courses, Conti was expelled for attempting to substitute false papers at the end of an examination. Before leaving, however, he was made to confess the crime publicly, and then he disappeared. Interesting, because Conti had a university degree. He was a PhD. So, you know, it's absolutely false, and he actually headed up the health organizations and headed up the eugenics offices in Germany until the end of the war. So, it's absolutely bogus, and yet there he is writing this stuff. Now, Heinrich Himmler, we have a break.
We have a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes, so stay tuned.
Answer it. How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations, and that website is wvfoundations.org.
Interesting is in this book that he wrote with the Jew Michael Stern. He wrote that in 1943. Now, just 3 years prior, 1940, he had wrote, you know, he had done Hitler and I with, you know, in cooperation with the Mossbacher, another Jew. Now, in the 1940 book, I'd read an excerpt on that book, on that first meeting with Hitler, in which Hitler had called him out on being a Red, in which Hitler had talked about the Jewish problem, and which Otto Strasser had discounted it and said that the Jews did not create Marxist socialism. And we actually seen, I think, Otto Strasser's true colors. And I think probably from that point on, Hitler had Otto Strasser's number, really. Because from that point on, you've seen there was interactions, a lot of interaction between Hitler and Gregor Strasser, but there really wasn't a lot between Hitler and Otto. And you've seen Hitler saying, you know, to Gregor, you're this intellectual brother, and we're not going to get along well. And he said it in his presence. But also in the 1943 book, Otto Strasser again brings up that meeting. And what's interesting is Otto, now either it's an issue with the translation, or Otto just forgot what he wrote in 1940. Because when I compare what Otto wrote about that meeting in his 1943 book, and I was up late last night, you know, I was printing these out, looking at them, and taking notes and marking them up for this show, and I look at the 1940 book, they're not consistent. he says one thing in the 1943 book, and he makes some inconsistencies. And but I'm not willing to say that he, you know, I'm not willing to say that they're completely inconsistent because it could be translation. So what I'm going to do is try to track down some of the original, you know, first run and verify that before I make that allegation, because I want to be as accurate as possible. But what I will say is what he, how he attacks these people, and he trashes them, you know, under, you know, in a coordination with this Jewish co-author. And of course, I think this is for a reason. I think he was clearly acting as an Allied propaganda agent. Now, bear in mind, Heinrich Himmler was his brother's adjutant. His brother spoke very highly of Heinrich Himmler. Now, this is what Otto Strasser says about Heinrich Himmler on page 41 in this 1943 book, Flight from Terror, which he wrote with Michael Stern. Heinrich Himmler was a typical non-commissioned German officer with an almost masochistic inclination towards insubordination. But with the same degree that he fawned upon his superiors, he bore down cruelly on those under him. A remark he made later, which is typical of a man, is worth quoting. Quote, "If the Führer commands that I shoot down my own mother, I shall obey it and be proud that the Führer has such confidence in my obedience," end quote. I can't find that quote any place other than Otto Strasser creating it in this book.
Huh.
I cannot find that quote about Heinrich Himmler any place, but yet it is used over and over and attributed to Heinrich Himmler on the History Channel and all of these other, you know, agenda-driven anti-National Socialist, anti-German historians. The only place I can find it is Otto Strasser in this 1943 book.
Hmm. Well, don't they usually take things out of context and then blow
them
up?
Sure. Well, sure. And I think that Otto Strasser created it.
Of course, just like the Gleiwitz incident that comes
sure.
from one individual, and yet you hear about it all the time.
Now, it's interesting also in this, during this conversation, this is something, now remember, we already talked about the in the Hitler and I book, the conversation, that first meeting in which Otto Strasser said that Hitler had no military exploits of his own to talk about or no,
right.
you know, anything of that nature. Otto Strasser is talking about his medals, and he's talking about he's wearing an Iron Cross to that meeting, and he's mentioning what, you know, where did you get that medal? And in this 1943 book, Otto Strasser references his Iron Cross, which he had worn to the meeting, not the prior medal that he talked about, which he said he was deprived of. So now we see that I'm talking about inconsistencies in the 1943 book as opposed to the 1940 book. We're talking about Iron Crosses. Otto Strasser had one Iron Cross. Adolf Hitler had both Iron Cross First Class and Iron Cross Second Class, First and Second Class. So it's kind of interesting. There's a lot of inconsistencies. Otto Strasser's form of, quote, Otto Strasser, Strasserism, I don't even call it National Socialism, was against the Führerprinzip. He wanted these working groups, which is basically what I would call like the Bolshevik working councils to run, you know, to make leadership decisions. He brought this up during this meeting, and we talked about, here's a direct quote where Strasser had brought that up, and he says, Hitler's response was only a strong ideal, and a strong leader will lift our nation up to its proper place again, and which point General Ludendorff explained, bravo, correct. That was one point. I'm surprised that made it into the book, actually, because at that point, during this whole book, Otto Strasser is trying to paint Ludendorff as being sarcastic and looking down his nose at Hitler, but here's a point where Ludendorff actually agrees with Hitler and is supportive of the Führer, the leadership principle, as opposed to Strasser's more Bolshevik version. We go on. This is a major one that I find really interesting. On page 55, he attacks Hermann Göring's World War I record. Now, I remember during I went to the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum, and there is a row there that has all of the various pilots in World War I, and they have the Red Baron, Baron von Richthofen, number one with the most kills. I can't remember, it was 85 or 89. But number two or number three, I believe, is, and of course they have this big plaque. Well, we're going to break.
Oops,
this is gonna
going
be interesting.
To break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
An effective, 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
Time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to SantaBarbaraBells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. SantaBarbaraBells.com. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Martin. And by the way, we will take calls at 800-313-9443. Rodney is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. I was just laughing about your comment in the
That did happen. I'm not kidding. Now that individual just makes it a point to put blogs on the local newspaper to remind everybody that an evil, wicked Nazi lives in our town. I think one of the funniest captions one time was he came up and yelled at me in the store and says that I hang around with neo-Nazis. I said, well, no, judging from the old-timers that I've interviewed, I think I would probably hang out with the old ones. But you just got to have fun with this stuff. Nobody takes him serious. But anyway, because people know I'm not, as we talked about before, I'm not a hater. I'm very friendly and professional with everybody, but I do stand up for my beliefs and principles, and that's how I think we need to conduct ourselves.
Absolutely.
And but this next part that Otto Strasser wrote on page 55, and I was giving an example. I went to the Air and Space Museum of the Smithsonian in Washington several years back, and they have these plaques that shows the Air Aces, and of course the Red Baron remains number one, and he will probably hold that record forever. 86 or 87 kills. I can't remember the exact number. But Hermann Göring is number three, I believe. I believe Hermann Göring holds number three. But his plaque is like 60% smaller. He holds a record. They can't deny that because of World War One service. But because of his position in the NSDAP and in the Third Reich, they have it just a little small. Everybody else's plaque is huge. His is very small. But here is Otto Strasser saying, he's talking about introducing, he's being introduced to all of the NSDAP leaders, and he says, "My observation was interrupted when I felt a touch on my arm and turned to face two men. One was Rudolf Hess, and I will say he's pretty kind to Rudolf Hess in this book. He doesn't really trash him very much. He said the other was a stout, round-faced man whose uniform was too tight for his large body. He wore the Prussian Order Pour le Mérite over his heart. Hess introduced him to me, and we shook hands, neither with much enthusiasm. His name was Hermann Göring." Well, you know, Göring was a very smart man, and he probably already knew who he was meeting and knew that he was a Red. "I knew Captain Göring by reputation as having much been the commander of the famous Richthofen Air Squadron, named for the famous ace Manfred von Richthofen, the Red Knight of Germany. Göring's record." Now, you notice, as I was reading this book, Deanna, you notice he's explaining who all the players are. Manfred von Richthofen, Göring. So he's writing this for a much larger audience. Anybody in Germany would already know this. So he's writing this not only for the Germans, so it would be a hit piece in Germany. He's also writing this to poison the minds of any neutral body, that person sitting on the fence maybe in the United States or anybody else. So if you read this, you know, I'm reading this saying, boy, if I didn't know, back in 1943 or after, if I didn't know all the players, I mean, you can see it with the reason why he's writing this. And, of course, I can see him sitting there with the Jew, Michael Stern. He's feeding him this information, and they're both looking together to create this just absolute garbage. Göring's record, while the squadron's commander, was really impressive, for it showed that he had downed some 80-odd enemy planes. It was common knowledge in Germany, however, that Göring had used inaccurate arithmetic, as well as a machine gun in amassing this large number of victories. Whenever an Allied plane was shot down by some member of his in his flight, and it was not clear which airman was responsible for the victory, Göring, a squadron commander, simply took credit for himself in writing out his report. This, however, was in no wise reflects upon his personal bravery. So he's basically saying, yeah, he was brave, but he searched his record.
How did these people get these facts?
Deanna, those planes had machine guns on them. I mean, this is so absolute. Then he goes on, "Göring has the face and body of a clown, and has led many people to regard him as a rather bluff and easygoing sort of." Well, you know, I mean, this is just this book. I mean, this 1943 book, to me, exposes Otto Strasser for what he is. First, he's writing it during wartime. 1943 was a critical year, and I'll tell you, let me take about 30 seconds to explain why. Okay, in Stalingrad, you know, February 1943, Stalingrad had fallen, finally. That was not, however, the turning point, contrary to what a lot of people believe. The war turned at Stalingrad. It was not. The German army went on the offensive at Kursk. Kursk was the turning point, and the Wehrmacht lost at Kursk not because of military reasons, but because spies, espionage, telling Stalin and the Red Army when the German army was going to launch that attack and where the positions of the Wehrmacht was and such. They lost it because of traitors like Otto Strasser. Because of Red agents within Germany. I can name them. Wilhelm Canaris, public enemy number one in Germany. He was feeding information out, as well as a bunch of others. But that's for another time. But so 43 was a critical year. And here is Otto Strasser talking out two sides of his face, saying, one, that he is a committed National Socialist and a German. But here he is attacking his country in a critical time in 1943, and writing this in collaboration with a Jew. And yet you go back and you look, as we've shown in this show, he was Jew-friendly as early as 1925 and before. And he was actually calling for collaboration with the Soviet Union. He was calling for Bolshevik type of policies. And if anything, he was actually, you know, if he would have succeeded, him and his brother would have succeeded, one can envision them saying that let's merge the NSDAP and the KPD into one, you know, Bolshevik type of workers' party altogether. You can envision that happening because the policies he was pursuing under Strasserism were mirror, they were parallel to Bolshevism. There's no way you can deny it. Let's go on to what he said about Schleicher on page 60. He says, all of the, this is a direct quote from his book, all the big and little actors destined to play roles in the Hitler-Aaron drama. That was an anti-German and anti-National Socialist buzzword that the Allies used. Were that day Hermann Göring in a uniform too tight for his rapidly expanding girth, and there was a reason for that, which we can explain. It was had to do with the medication he was on because he'd been shot up in air battles, and he was taking, you know, pain medicine and medications at the time that, much like what prednisone does to the body today, it makes you gain excessive amounts of weight. Dr. Wilhelm Frick, and he is friendly to Wilhelm Frick, the interior minister, and Rudolf Hess, and Julius Streicher, former school teacher from Nuremberg and sexual pervert. Now, what is he trying to imply there? And then he says Gregor Strasser and his inseparable Heinrich Himmler. So then he's basically implying, Julius Streicher was a remarkable publisher, and he was executed at Nuremberg for publishing books that exposed the Jewish question. Julius Streicher did not hold an official cabinet position in the National Socialist government at any time, but he was executed for publishing books. That was
exactly.
It.
Yeah.
But here's Otto Strasser accusing him of being essentially a sexual pervert and doesn't back it up. It's just flabbergasting. He goes on page. Absolutely, and that's exactly what the Allies were. That's exactly what the Allies do. He makes a comment here which is absolutely inaccurate on page 63. He's talking about an incident at Oberweisfeld where there was a disagreement between Hitler and Ernst Röhm, and he says, "I am convinced now that the deep rancor Hitler nourished against Captain Ernst Röhm dates from that very moment on the field at Oberweisfeld." Well, you know, we know from the arrests in 1934 during Operation Hummingbird, which is known as Night of the Long Knives, that Hitler personally ordered that Röhm be held in a jail cell. He was not executed when all the rest of them were. And as a matter of fact, Hitler anguished over that and actually gave Röhm the opportunity to commit suicide, take the honorable death. And Röhm did not. So that's another absolute, false statement. He goes on page 63 in this book, and it says, reasonable men in politics would have realized this. They probably would have reorganized under another name and begun all over again. But Hitler and his followers were not reasonable men. National Socialism was more to them than a political movement. I mean, and he's talking about after the putsch and such. Reasonable men. Well, let's talk about that. That's an interesting statement because reasonable men, Strasser was basically, Strasserism was proposing to essentially take down and disassemble every institution and tradition in Germany. And Hitler saw that as being very, very foolhardy, and he knew that what would happen would be we see that in history, and Hitler saw that, what happened in the immediate aftermath of World War I, when you had, you know, chaos on the streets, there was civil war in the street, the various putsch attempts, a cap putsch and things of that nature. And he knew that, one, the Germans didn't like that. The Germans had a deep-seated traditions, and he did not want to destroy those. He wanted to make those part of the National Socialist tradition. He wanted to integrate all of that. I.e., you see, when he became chancellor, he had the day of Potsdam, where he had the traditional, you had President von Hindenburg and Field Marshal von Mackensen all in attendance at the Garrison Church. Then you had the new National Socialist government, and you had that integration of the old German traditions and the new National Socialist government. They all became one. And that was absolutely, Strasser and his Strasserites and his Bolsheviks, his neo-Bolsheviks, wanted to burn down all of those traditions, have collectivization, have all of this class struggle, and it was absolutely foreign to what National Socialism really was. And as I said earlier in the show, I'm surprised that Hitler put up with them as long as they was. So we talk about reasonable men. Hitler was very reasonable. The fact that he let them stay until 1930 and 1932, and then he put up with, you know, he let them get away and let them run off to Prague is amazing. He then goes on, and this is a key word. Within the week, the Munich conspiracy, talking about the, just before the beer hall putsch, the Munich conspiracy was born. And I've circled Munich conspiracy because in the post-war, after World War II, the what I call the vassal state, the German Bundesrepublic, West Germany, held a series of trials in which they went back and they tried former SA men and members of the NSDAP for carrying out actions that were sanctioned by under Weimar law. Bear in mind, the Operation Hummingbird, and this is very important for your listeners to understand, the what is called the Night of the Long Knives was called Operation Hummingbird. It was carried out under the Weimar Republic. It was sanctioned under Weimar law. The Reichstag sanctioned it. President von Hindenburg sanctioned it. It was carried out in accordance with Weimar law. And people forget that. They conveniently forget that.
Right. Post-World
War II,
totally.
Post-World War II, the Federal Republic held a series of trials in which they held, went back and tried people that, say, carried out the executions, carried out the arrests, and they referred to that Operation Hummingbird as the Munich Conspiracy. I think that's very interesting.
Telling.
Because in the 1950s, you have them calling it the Munich Conspiracy, but here you have Strasser calling it the Munich Conspiracy in 1943.
Yeah, planted term, no doubt.
Yeah, obviously. It's just, I think it's rather interesting. He also says, and this was my final, I don't know if we have any calls or not, but this was my final comment, and I just stopped. I got to the point, I got to page 70, Deanna, and I finally just stopped. Because the book is so damning. It is such a damning piece of evidence against Strasser being a true National Socialist, and I think is a prima facie evidence of him being a Soviet front. He says that when he was, he told Frick, he says that he told Frick to go and tell von Kahr when they were getting ready to start the Munich conspiracy, the putsch, to go and tell von Kahr that the National Socialist aim was, quote, the eventual restoration of our sovereign lord, the Kaiser. He's saying that Hitler was proposing to be a monarchist. Okay, Wilhelm Frick has never collaborated that at all. I mean, there's no one has ever said that Hitler, when he delivered the message to von, in fact, Frick had talked about that as well, that when he went and delivered the message to von Kahr, he never said they were going to restore the Kaiser. Quite the opposite. He said the national revolution has begun. That was what he said, as a matter of fact, you know. So, I mean, I'm not understanding how anybody in the nationalist movement, and I'm sad to report that there is a significant number of individuals in the nationalist movement that took up Strasserism as a, quote-unquote, they thought it was a viable alternative. As a matter of fact, post-war, individual by the name of Michael Kunin in Germany. He was born in 1955, about 10 years after World War II. He was prominent in the NPD. He picked up Strasser's writings and decided that Strasser would be the alternative to, quote, Hitlerism. And he published a series of writings, and he turned as he organized what was called the Free German Workers' Party, and decided that Strasserism was essentially the way to go. And he said that Ernst Röhm was the inspiration, and that pre-1934-35 National Socialism was the way to go. You know, but National Socialism before they came to power, which is interesting. If you look what National Socialism accomplished, we talked about the NSDAP economic plan. We talked about how National Socialism in power took unemployment from 4.9 million down to 2.5 million just in their first 12 months in power. So I don't know where the Strasserites have anything to complain about.
Well, it's just that rewriting of history and redoing things.
I think it speaks to a lot of infiltration, too, Deanna, into the nationalist movements and into modern-day nationalists. So, because this fellow Kunin actually ended up coming out as a homosexual and died of AIDS himself. And embraced homosexuality. And, you know, these Strasserites are, I consider them to be essentially false fronts and closet leftists and Bolsheviks themselves. And I tell you, I've made some statements in the past that you just cannot advance by retreating. You cannot embrace the Marxist principles by or use Marxist principles or leftist principles to advance nationalism because they're contrary. And we see that. We see that with Strasser. Strasser is advocating essentially quasi to almost overt Marxist Bolshevism and was trying to inject that into National Socialism. And when he couldn't get the entire party to adopt it, he and his brother went and organized the northern Germany, which was beneficial ultimately to the NSDAP, but they organized a parallel party. They organized a party within a party. And so the northern German National Socialists were getting this leftist version. And then when they would see the National Socialism in southern Germany, they were saying, well, what is the real National Socialism? And so finally by 1930, Hitler said no more.
All right, Rodney, we are going to a three-minute break. We'll be right back.
The free and independent states of America were born July 4, 1776. The 56 delegates signed the Declaration of Independence. Congress ordered it engrossed, sent to the several assemblies, conventions, committees, councils of safety, and several commanding officers of the Continental Army. After the war, several nations traded with the free United States of America. Any agency, officer, or employee acting as if the declaration were void or obsolete is without the right and the consent. They place themselves as an equal to the Creator and are warring with Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution and with the people. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand-name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20 plus years. Go to campingsurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at campingsurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today has been Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations, and his website is wvfoundations.org. We do have one caller. Rodney?
Yes, let's take the caller.
All righty, John. Let's John in Pennsylvania.
Good afternoon, Deanna and Rodney.
Good afternoon.
Excellent show, Rodney, as always.
Well, thank you.
Just one point of interest. When you mentioned Goering, I always sit up in my chair. He was a Renaissance man, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was actually wounded, a minor clarification. He developed his addiction to painkillers during the putsch when he was seriously wounded at the
mm-hmm.
putsch. And, of course, he convalesced in Austria. But that's where his weight gain and his dependence on relief from the pain, it was a severely painful injury. Beg your pardon?
He'd also been shot up during the war, too.
It was a double
whammy. Both he'd been shot up in the war and during the putsch. He got shot during the putsch, and neither one was helpful to his addiction.
You know, Goering's the one that infamously said at the Nuremberg trial, and I'll quote him, he said, voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in any country.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
Goering. He was a fascinating man. David Irving has a pretty good biography of him. I just want to say good show, as always, and carry on.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, Goering also exposed and was the first one to tell the defendants at Nuremberg that what it was, and he really redeemed himself at Nuremberg. Not that he needed any redeeming, but I think he really called Nuremberg for what it was, and I think he made Mr. Justice Jackson look like a complete idiot at Nuremberg. And he knew exactly what Nuremberg was. He knew what the result was going to be, and I think he really stood strong at Nuremberg. And I think you're right on. I think John was right on. He was a Renaissance man, and I think as far as the development of aircraft, I think if you look where he really does not get enough credit is the development of all those advanced aircraft. When designers would go in and make a presentation to him, he approved all of those the development of all those advanced aircraft. That all came through Goering. And people don't give him credit where credit's due on that. Also, he was extremely popular. He was extremely popular among his pilots, among his airmen. He did have disagreements and had, turf battles among the upper officer corps within the Luftwaffe, but that's with any organization. But as far as his pilots and among the populace, he was extremely popular. He was also popular in the foreign diplomatic corps as well. And so I agree with you as to Goering. I have a little different take on David Irving's biography. I'm a little critical. I think Irving was a little overly critical of Goering, and we'll see what comes out on Irving's current work that he's doing on Himmler. I wanted to cover a little bit we have another break, or we're out of time.
We're out of time.
Well, good show. Thank you.
A long break until
yes.
You're on the program.
Yes. Thank you, Deanna.
Thank you so much, Rodney. We'll talk soon. Thank you. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you tomorrow.